Namaste and welcome to Vedanta, the River of Wisdom podcast, a podcast that brings to you the ancient flowing tradition of wisdom that reveals you are pure being having a human experience. I am Swamini B, a Vedanta teacher and a Hindu monk, and your guide by the side. Let us flow, you and I, on the banks of the river of wisdom.
Is it really possible to have a life of no expectations? If you expected a reply to the question, you do have an expectation, an anticipation. Expectations are very exciting because expectations are indicative of possibilities, becoming probabilities, or even realities. Expectations are the stuff of hope and optimism. During your youth, the stride in your step and the enthusiasm in your outlook came from your expectations. You looked forward to life and all that life had to offer. Expectations are not really a problem. They play a role in all our transactions. When you buy your groceries online or offline, you expect, and rightly so, that good quality goods will be delivered to you. When you eat at a restaurant, you rightfully expect that the quality of food, ambience, and service will be good. You expect that the sun will rise, the air will move, the roads will not give way. The certainty and predictability of phenomena around us give rise to expectations that are natural. As you can see, it is impossible to live a life with zero certainty or to live a life of no expectations. When you are relating to your family members or close friends, you rightfully expect warmth, support, and care through their words and actions. But neither are you consistent in your expression, nor are they. When we find that our expectations are not being met, we are hurt, upset, and angry. Some of us sulk, expecting the other person to understand. Some of us start being sarcastic. Some of us cajole and persuade, and some of us even threaten the other person to meet our expectations. After trying a variety of strategies, when none of it seems to work, or our expectations are met only up to a point, then we're exhausted and swing to another extreme. From a position of having many expectations, we now swing to a position of having no expectations. At least we try. Because we have associated having expectations with hurt and being let down. And of course, no one wants to be hurt again and again. A desire for something transforms into an expectation. Bhagavan Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, a very beautiful dialogue of wisdom, says that dharma avirodhaha kamaha aham asmi, which means I am that desire which is in line with dharma. What? I thought desires were the root cause of suffering. And here Bhagwan, the Lord, says that he himself is desire. How is that possible? He does say that he is that kind of a desire which is in line with dharma. Because only desires that are not in line with dharma or obsessive desires create problems. The others are very good to have. In other words, desires and expectations that are in line with universal values are none other than the Lord Himself. So if we say we should not have desires, we are rejecting this manifestation of Ishvara Himself. And there is no reason to do that at all. The desire to provide for your family, the desire to make the most of your abilities, the desire to find a cure for cancer, the desire to share your skills, the desire to solve a vexing problem at work. These are all wonderful, wonderful desires to have. Really speaking, the more appropriate question to ask is, how do I manage my expectations in relationships? First, we need to articulate for ourselves what the purpose of our relationships is. And secondly, we align our expectations with reality. If we do these two things, then expectations are a privilege and not a burden. So first, what is the purpose of our relationships? It's a tough question, and most people I've asked this question to struggle with it. Anyway, for most of us, the purpose of our relationships with family members is to love, offer finances, care and support, and also receive love, care and support and other things for our life. We want to experience the joy of being there for them and the joy of fulfilling our responsibilities. There will be limited time with family members, and the level of closeness with each will be different. There will also be many misunderstandings, some fights and arguments, which may lead family members to either drift apart or come close together. However your relationships are, can your relationships with family members solve the human problem of limitation, finitude, and the individual journey of the person from birth to death? Is that possible? Can your relationships with family members solve your search for the infallible, the one that is capable of no fault, the infallible that is God? Is that possible? Can your relationships always take care of your emotional security, especially if you insist on being daddy's little girl or mama's little boy emotionally? Someone who's still emotionally a child and needs taking care of and gets hurt at the slightest of issues is really daddy's little girl or mama's little boy. Can your relationships with family members offer you total fulfillment at all times, in all situations, and all places? The answer to the above questions is no, irrespective of how wonderful your family is. This can be a great relief, because now you are more realistic about what relationships can give you and what they cannot give you, and hence you can truly enjoy them. The human search for freedom from inadequacy is not met by constant reassurance from another person that you are lovable and acceptable 3 times a day. The human search is essentially a spiritual search and will come to an end only in the discovery of oneself as the limitless being, and hence freedom from any lack. But relationships are necessary and essential for a relative sense of security and fulfillment. The Vedic tradition looks at all relationships as a matrix of karma, a matrix of blessing. The people in our lives are a blessing, an opportunity for us to grow in our maturity as we perform our dharma. The more our relationships are based on dharma, the more they offer great fulfillment, which is relative. The Vedic tradition encourages us to relate with joy, responsibility, and not withdraw from relationships. This way of relating frees us from extreme dependence on the other and helps us discover a healthy interdependence, as well as a relative freedom from inadequacy. The Vedic tradition recognizes that only when we experience relative fulfillment are we ready for total fulfillment, that is moksha, our true nature. In fact, even the wife is referred to as Dharma Patni, the one who helps the husband uphold and follow Dharma. To recognize that relationships cannot give us moksha, as they are limited in nature, frees us from unrealistic expectations. We start burdening relationships from our projection of moksha and focus on our search for moksha by exposure to the Shastra. We start aligning our expectations with reality. We start to see that every role has a tentative script, and if the person is more or less following the script, things work out well. There is always scope to ask for what more you want or what less you want. No script is cast in stone, and expectations are dynamic. They are met sometimes and they are not sometimes. You win some, you lose some, and that is fine. When we are realistic about our expectations from people, we start to accept people as they are, knowing that each person has experienced a unique set of situations that have contributed to his or her personality today. Maybe the person is not expressive because while growing up, the person was never asked about his opinion or asked to shut up whenever he spoke. And this happened so often that the person withdrew into a shell. Can I have an expectation that this person should be more expressive? Sure, I would like the person to be more expressive, but given his background, I see that he cannot be otherwise unless he makes the effort to change. Maybe I can make the effort to draw him out of his shell. Maybe I can make the effort to accept him. On a lighter note, how many psychologists does it take to change a light bulb? And the answer is none, because the light bulb must want to change. When we're realistic about the purpose of our relationships and our expectations, we start to accommodate the fact that people are free to make choices. People are unpredictable in their behavior, and they are free to not be consistent just like us. We start to accommodate the fact that all people have their own complicated histories and are trying to do their best in any given situation. As we do this more and more, expect magically transforms into accept. When you accept, you see things as they are. Here, acceptance is not resignation or a position of helplessness, but on the contrary, your acceptance of another person is a position of strength. You are so strong that you are not afraid of facing facts. You are so strong that you can handle different situations. You are so strong that you stop resisting facts about yourself and others. You are so strong that you enjoy seeing the realities of situations, including all your expectations, and that they may or may not be met, and you do not need to hide from facts. You are so strong in your position of acceptance that you are free to expect and you enjoy what is done. You expect and you accept what is done as well as what is not done. You know that the realities of the situation are shaped by the laws of nature, laws that are presided over by a deep intelligence that abides in the limitlessly intelligent being, the being that is Ishvara. Your expectations, your resistances of yourself and others, your acceptance of others, your struggles and your sweet victories are all pervaded by the emotional framework of principles that is Ishvara. You no longer expect that your life can be led without expectations. In fact, you enjoy your expectations and see how Ishvara helps you in fulfilling them, not fulfilling them, or fulfilling your expectations differently. You learn to dance with your own karma. You are in harmony.
You matter. Your life matters. What you do with your life matters. Thank you for listening. If you found this episode helpful and offering insight, I do hope you will consider sharing this with your friends, family, or on social media. Would you like to receive an email every month that will bring to you more wisdom, more happiness, and more freedom? If the answer is yes, then our monthly newsletter, Arshavidya Bharati, is for you. It has articles on living our traditions, links to podcast episodes, articles and videos published elsewhere in the month, reflections about how Vedanta is changing the life of students, announcements about events and courses, profound Sanskrit sayings, and much, much more. And it's not too long. Do consider checking out this month's issue and also subscribe. The links are in the description of this episode. The transcript of this podcast is available on discoveratma.com/category/podcast. I would love to hear from you. If you have a request or a reflection, please write to me at swaminiji@discoveratma.com. That's swaminiji at discoveratma.com. As always, thank you for listening, and we meet next week.